Man of the year, man of the year, man of the year. Welcome to the number one friendship podcast in the country. I'm Matt Ritter.
I'm Aaron Cairo.
Guys, check out manoftheyearpodcast.com for tickets to our Netflix comedy festival show, for our merch, buy some t-shirts, look us up on YouTube. You see our pretty faces there. Cairo, I know you're a man who's very prompt.
Try to be.
If you go to a coffee with somebody that's meant to be a half hour, at what level of tardiness, what minute level does it become unacceptable?
Can I answer your question with a question?
Yeah.
How do you know it's only going to be half an hour?
Well, I'm just saying a coffee is meant to be under an hour.
Oh, is that the rule?
Generally, if you say you're meeting somebody for coffee, it's not going to be a long
thing.
You're not having a meal.
I start looking at my watch at 1 minute past.
Yeah.
5 minutes, I want to send a text, but I say, hey, like you live in society. That's not how people operate. Yeah. 10 minutes, I just send a passive aggressive question mark to their last text.
Just question mark. Yeah.
Not a question mark. The question mark emoji thing.
Oh.
Yeah.
So the reason I ask is because I met up with a friend recently for a coffee. And they were 11 minutes late. I intended the coffee to only be a half hour because I'm busy and I was sneaking out. And I, like, you know, it was among my pang of loneliness moments. I'm happy to do it.
Yeah.
But I also need it to be timely. I think if you're 10 minutes, 15 minutes late for a dinner, different, understandable. You're going to be there for 2 hours plus. But like, the coffee's only meant to be a half hour. You can't be 33% late.
was there a warning or whatever, like, hey, running late?
No, actually the opposite. This is what pissed me off. No warning. A text that said, see you soon at 1:47 for the 2 o'clock.
Oh, that's bizarre.
Right. So then get there and find out it was because they were getting emails about an Airbnb property.
Well, I mean, you do know about that.
Money talks.
Yeah.
Money talks. So I guess, is it forgivable? Of course it's forgivable, but is it, you know? Yeah. Anyway, the point is, this is all under the rubric of, you know, we always talk about, you know, friendship, maintaining friendship, building new friendships. And I talk about now I have a child, family obligations. We both have busy, busy lives. You live a very rigid life. And you have to budget. You know, we talk about like taking stock. I think we've never done a budget for friendship in terms of like time increments. And I think you kind of have to budget your time for all these things. And so I had budgeted a half hour for this thing. And so that's what annoyed me about it. Like, I had budgeted this little hang to be this time period, but it was also a person who, you know, thinks a coffee could be 3 hours.
Yes, time. I love that we're doing this episode about time, because time is obviously the most precious resource. Also, I want to encourage our listeners to check out our episode about CFOs or chief friendship officers, where we touch a little bit on this. I just want to go back to your very specific example. Here's what I would do in that situation if I was the late person. I'm on my way to a thing. I get these emails I need to take care of. I show up on time. I say, hey, I'm so sorry. I just need to step out and just answer this stuff right now.
That's obviously the professional way of doing it.
Oh, okay. I thought you might disagree with me.
No, that's what an adult does.
But showing up and saying, hey, I'm going to.
Right. So just tell me that. Just be like, look, I got a call. By the way, I handled it which I thought is the utmost professionalism of the late E. The person who's been lated.
Yeah.
I said, let me get you a coffee. What do you want? No response. So I am a regular at my coffee shop.
Yeah.
They made my coffee and I said, I don't want to pay for it yet because I want to get my friend a coffee. At 1:09, he's like, I'll just get it myself. So I'm standing by the counter like a dipshit for 9 minutes.
I mean, of course, that brings up. This is beyond friendship, just promptness of the people in the world.
Everybody's late from time to time, but again, it's like, handle it. Like, just text, say how I'm, just text me a 2-second text. Like, I'm dealing with some business. I'll get my own coffee.
Let me ask you this. And if this is something you want to talk about later, we can go back to it. How do you, when the coffee is wrapping up or the drinks is wrapping up and you think maybe the other person is a lingerer, how do you signal like, all right, this is up, this is over?
I just say I have a meeting.
So you say 2 o'clock. Do you do a little like stretch, like, okay, well, you know,
well, a couple minutes before I just announce it that I have a 2 o'clock. Yeah. I just announce I have a 2 o'clock. By the way, that's going to come up. I don't want to bite our listener question, but I wanted to get to this article I sent you.
Okay.
Because it was a Vogue article. This woman said, you know, she thinks hanging out should take 2 hours or less. And so I wanted to bring up to you, I don't know if I agree or disagree, but I wanted to, maybe we could run through how long things should be.
Oh, right? Oh, I love that.
Like, not just the coffee. Like, I think a coffee should be 45 minutes max.
It's interesting. First of all, as our listeners know, I don't drink coffee. So the coffee is really just like a vehicle. Now, we both have coffee shops that we are right or walking distance from our place, which is what I prefer. But if I have to drive somewhere, like if I'm the other person, I don't know if they would feel differently.
Right. You want it to be what, an hour? I have it stacked. I do my exercise too, walking there and back. It's combo. And then I call you and unstack your habits.
I would say coffee sub hour. I think I like 45 minutes.
How about a dinner?
And what's the context? This is a good buddy. This is a catch up.
Okay, fine. So different ones. Catch up, dinner is the shortest, right?
Yeah.
Is the good buddy long? I mean, couple friend dinners can tend to run pretty long.
I mean, If me, you know, Fireball, Adam, and Jeff are getting dinner, that could be 3 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. And it should be. That should be a minimum of 3 hours.
Right. Right.
There should be a minimum for boys' night hang.
Yeah. The wait staff and the proprietor should be like, oh, we got to turn this table over. And like, these guys are really screwing us.
Couples dinner, 2 hours.
Yeah.
Unless they're really, really close friends, then it's basically the same 3 hours.
What are other examples of hangouts besides dinner and coffee?
Well, what's interesting is I was reading this article. In the article, there was something ironic about how, you know, we did an episode about the low-key hang, where there is no agenda. And she says that can end up being way more exhausting because you can't get rid of the person.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this comes back to my number one peccadillo, which I know that's not the right word, which is that people have no social awareness. Like, you know, if the other person is starting to do work or do whatever or doesn't seem connected, then it's time for you to go. But Matt, as you are a proponent of the low key hang can be confusing because the whole point is that like you're parallel playing.
Right. Right. So she brought up her point was that there is a sort of downside to offering up an open-ended low key hang because there's no defined sort of parameters of it. But I think what you can do is say, do you want to hang out in the morning? I find my wife's really good at this of like, or maybe women are just better at it. They sort of always define the time parameters.
I was literally just going to say that, you know, what do you think about, cause I like to say hard out, but what do you, let's say someone reached out to you, say, hey, let's get a drink. And they're in between a fridge friend and an inner circle. They're a friend.
Well, that was the next one. We didn't get into drinks. That's the hardest one to delay.
Yeah. Would you say, hey, I have 8 to 9:30 available?
I think that feels like a scooch aggressive. I think I'd say I just have to be home by 10.
Right. Okay. Yes. Okay. But that's okay. Putting it in. Well, that's me. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
I have a question about this. I want to offer a suggestion to our listeners. A lot of times we go in with the idea of keeping it short, one drink. That's it. I want us to keep an open mind to the idea of having that second drink. sometimes you just go in, you know, it's not your best friend, but it's somebody you like. You're catching up, you're having a drink, you're having a good time. You've just scratched the surface. You may not have gotten into anything that is about real friendship. I want to suggest maybe have that second drink, even if that wasn't your original plan.
I mean, is that a thing that people are struggling with?
I don't know. I feel like everybody's always like now, like, you know, on a clock, it feels like.
Oh, which okay.
I'm going against my own rules here. I'm going the other way.
I thought you meant it's because people don't want to have more than one drink physically.
No. Well, you could just not have the second drink too. I think that is part of it. Sometimes you just want to have one drink for health reasons. And then you cut it off because you're like, I don't want to have another drink. So that's okay.
You could get a mocktail, which they seem to be pushing a lot.
Right. I think the mocktail helps extend the socialization without the negative health benefits. Because I do find if I get the second drink, then I'm going to headache land for the next day. And that's the problem.
We've talked about this on the pod before. In fact, my mom just made a comment to me because she listened to every episode. She goes, you guys are always talking about drinking and or something like getting drunk.
We talk about coffee a lot too. I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's true.
Working out.
I respect people who don't drink or don't want to drink as much. I find mocktails to be a disgrace.
You know, it's crazy how big business it's gotten. It's just huge. Like, it's like, is it a scam? Are they good? I don't even know what to make of it.
Well, I mean, it does seem to be following the trend of like people are healthier.
Right.
You know, like getting wasted is sort of a little.
But I like water. Water's better than any mocktail I've ever had in my life.
So I agree with you, but it's not as social.
Orange juice. Cheers. You can't. Put a little umbrella into my Martinelli's. No. I met a guy with a new apple juice brand in Larchmont. I wish I could remember the name of it. You know.
Do you remember when your buddy, or not even a buddy, said he was starting a marrow company?
Yes. And Lovely Bunch. The apple juice is called Lovely Bunch. I'm giving a shout out. It's okay, a Lovely Bunch. I met a guy named Macklin. He's got a little kid. He owns a restaurant here and he's turning apple juice into a thing.
So your buddy or somebody you knew was starting a marrow company, bone marrow.
I remember. Who was that?
You quickly lost touch with him, but he asked you to help with the name, and then you went to me, and I came up with a great name.
It was
marijuana.
It sounds like weed. I don't know if I like that one.
Yeah, but it's marijuana, like WANNA. Yeah. And then it was like...
Now you've got a weed connotation. I'm not sure if I love that one, Kay. I usually love yours.
Well, I think you pitched it to him, and then he never spoke to you again.
Ooh. I got to look. Who was this guy?
I don't know.
Entrepreneur. There were a lot of bone entrepreneurs in 2015. That was the year of the bone.
Yeah, I think it's pronounced bone entrepreneur. We got it talking mocktails. Yeah, like
let's talk about the year of the bone for a second.
Do you
remember how much bone broth was being consumed in 2015 to 2017?
I mean, my friend Nicole, she's starting a bone broth company now.
Bone broth is over. No offense, Nicole.
I will say she just wanted a bone broth diet, and she looks amazing. Like she's all the collagen.
There's nothing in it. There's literally nothing.
Yeah. So I've only had bone broth once, and that was before my colonoscopy.
Yeah. Did you say colon again? Do you call it colonoscopy again? Colin Farrell asked.
Colonoscopy. Colonoscopy. And I think I bought I bought bone broth that you're supposed to like make stuff with, not drink. And it was the most disgusting thing I've ever had.
Oh, you bought like the concentrate.
No, not concentrate. It was more like stock.
Right. I'm saying that's the concentrate. It's like, it's just pure. This is pure concentrated bone broth.
It was worse than anything else in my colonoscopy.
Meanwhile, who am I to poo-poo Nicole, who's the most successful business person we know? We're like two jamokes here.
Yeah. I mean, she's the most successful bone entrepreneur that we know.
She's definitely the most successful bone entrepreneur.
Yeah.
I think bones are out. Marrow is long out. Marrow was like tail end already. Marrow was 2008.
I mean, by the way, my grandmother was doing marrow in the 60s.
Yeah.
Sucking out the marrow.
Everything
from the
old is new.
That's right.
Yeah. Mocktails.
Yeah, I just listen. I get it, and like you know, you're out with your friends.
We mock mocktails,
and also you know, Cody, our friend Cody, she loves non-alcoholic beer.
Yeah, I can never get on board with that. I had another friend who just did that. Was it at Sundance? We had somebody who was drinking non-alcoholic beer.
Like, just don't drink.
People love it. It's a huge trend. Listeners, if you have a favorite mocktail or non-alcoholic beer, tell us what it is and why you drink it. We don't get it.
Matt, I don't know if I told you this, but a non-alcoholic beer company reached out to sponsor us and I said no.
Unilaterally turning down sponsors? What the hell?
I was like, it doesn't really fit with anything.
No, it does. We don't drink anymore. We drink mocktails now.
Yeah. No, they donated a bunch.
They call me the chief panderer.
The CPO. Yeah, they donated a bunch of non-alcoholic beers to our holiday party. We put them at the bottom of the cooler. Nobody drank them.
Nobody? Not one?
Not a single. We threw them in the garbage after.
That's on brand for us.
Yeah, totally. And we'll be right back. All right. This is asking for a friend. If you have a friendship question or ethical dilemma, send it to us on Instagram at Man of the Year Podcast, and we will answer it on the show. Okay, today I'm sending it off to Matt.
Here goes, Kara. This comes from Ashley. We have a couple friend that, quote, overstays. We love to host casual outings at our house. We usually invite anywhere from two people, another couple, to four couples. So 8 to 10 people max. We have dinner, occasionally play board games. Then everybody starts to call it, except this one couple. It's obvious, parenthetical, we thought that this is the time where everyone should leave. We start cleaning. My husband even starts yawning open mouthed. And they just start making another drink as if the night isn't done. We don't want to be rude, but it's getting to the point where we're considering not inviting them. We love them. They just have this one flaw. They never leave. What are they to do?
First of all, I absolutely hate these people. Because it combines my two least favorite friendship qualities, lingering and no social awareness.
You know who's had this happen? Jesse and I. Because we throw a lot of parties. Naturally, there's always going to be a lingerer.
Now, as we do, I think we should make this like a regular segment, me trying to guess what Matt's going to think.
Yep.
You know, you'll always like to get into the head of the person that they're being spoken, that's being spoken about, which is the couple, which is maybe they don't think they're lingering. Maybe they think, you know, the couple wants them to hang and help them clean up.
Right.
Maybe they have a terrible marriage and they don't want to go home where they're alone with each other and their thoughts. None of that, you know, is acceptable behavior. But I would say either you give an end time at the beginning of the night.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you guys usually do, you and Jesse?
Well, in answer to your question about whether you nailed my answer, I think this is kind of an easy one. This is a communication gap. I think of what you said. Most of the time, I think it's people thinking they're either being helpful or that it's not time to leave. Like, but I don't think people think it's time to leave.
But if everybody else left?
Well, I think some of that is they think they're closer and they have a special dispensation.
Ooh, okay. But it's like if this was me and I was at your house, I would leave first. Because I was.
Right, but you might think you have the right to dispensate.
No, I'm saying I would use my closest to you to be like, oh, I'm just going to be the first.
Right, leader, you use your dispensation to bail. You use your hall pass to leave early.
It's called FIFO, first in, first out.
I love that. That's the thing. One thing you learned at Wharton.
So what do you guys do?
So it's funny because I don't think we've solved this. That's why it's a good question. Because I actually don't think I've solved this. This happens a lot to me. I will say I'm a little more sensitive because I'm narcoleptic. You know, like 9 o'clock, like I'm passing out and they're like at my fire pit. People are like hanging out. I mean, there have been times where I just put myself to bed.
Okay. So you kind of, they figure out when to leave because you leave.
I just leave it on Jess.
Oh God, what an asshole. What an asshole.
I'm like, all right, everybody, I'm going to bed. That's obviously not the right way to handle it.
Right. Right.
I don't think I'm handling it properly. Look, I think first thing is, I think you got to double down on the cues when everyone else is leaving. I think you just go, all right, well, we'll see you guys all tomorrow. It was great seeing everybody. And you start hugging.
Okay. Okay.
You hand jackets.
I was just going to say, when you get the first couple's jacket, you bring all the jackets.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Is that passive aggressive? I don't think so. I think that's a clear communication.
The problem is that lingerers and people with no social awareness need passive aggression. Otherwise, they won't.
They'll just sit anyway with their jacket bundled up in the house.
Yeah.
Drinking another beer with their keys in hand.
Which they took out of the fishbowl.
Right. Yeah. Well, we've had that couple that you know very well try to turn it into a. Sometimes you're like, is this an orgy invitation? That's
right. Once a dinner party crosses the threshold of lingering, then the lingering enters a threshold of orgy.
Right. And then the orgy ends up with, I don't know, a couple swapping. It's a whole.
Well, you're asleep. So it's just Jesse and whoever's
it's
left.
It's just Jess, a thruple. Jess is now a thruple downstairs.
So I have a
potential. Me and Brenner are asleep upstairs.
I have a potential machination you could do, which is use some of the other couples. Okay. And before the event, text.
Ooh, Caro, you devious dog.
Text the lingerers. Say, hey, how long are you guys going to stay for?
You dirty dog.
Dirty dog.
Filthy animal. I like it.
And then if the lingerers go, oh, I don't know, we'll figure it out. Or if they go, yeah, probably 10 o'clock or so, then you have some intel you could go. Right.
Because I think, you know, we're acting like this is so easily solvable and like it should be. But at the same time, like if it was as easy as being like, all right, because I do that. That's usually my move. I go,
yeah,
that means get the fuck out of my house.
Yeah. This is your move for like, we should show to our listeners. Matt is kind of doing a clap into a hand.
Clap into pray means get the F out of my house.
Yeah. 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 But it's kind of like, it's almost like, why am I blanking? What's the clap called when you're shooting?
Oh, yeah, I don't know. But were they clapped for like the slate?
Yeah, the slate. You're slating. You're like, guys, scene 4, get the.
Yeah, 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 yeah. We're wrapped.
Yeah.
We're wrapped. Ooh. That's a wrap. Oh, I'm going to start saying, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap.
That's a wrap.
That's a wrap. That's a wrap.
Wow. You know what? I'm adding that's a wrap because I've never said get the fuck out. I think I'm going to do it. That's a wrap. Because then they're like, can I help with anything? And I'm just like, yeah, pay my mortgage. You're now a tenant. You're now on the mortgage.
And we should say,
you're on the mortgage.
We should say, you know, I do like an offer to help. You obviously always say no.
No, I disagree. Sometimes I do want people to stay and clean up. When it's a big party, actually, it's very important, actually. So let me time this out.
We're talking about a big house party.
No, not a dinner. Even a dinner party. If some people want to stay and start doing the dishes and get that cleaned up, that's very helpful and welcome.
Let me ask you this.
That has to get done before everybody leaves anyway, before we go to bed.
How much rinsing do you do before you put a plate in the dishwasher?
This is like, we have a really good dishwasher now, so it gets to the point where I'm like, could I leave this like stuck mustard in? I usually do a pretty good rinse. It's almost like, why am I doing the dishwasher?
Water barely touches my dishes. I just take the full pieces of meat off and then I stick it right in.
Wow. And nothing gets stuck?
No. And I don't even have that great of a dishwasher.
So my mom bought us this great dining set. One problem, not dishwasher safe.
Is that even a thing?
Yeah, it's got gold on it. It's got like, they're really nice. It's like very expensive place.
Just gave you such a burden.
It is a burden. I love you, mom, but it was a gift. That is the gift that keeps on annoying. But in answer to your questions, that's why I like having people help out at the end of the dinner party. Like, I don't mind that. I think it's post cleaning, clearly time to go.
You throw dish gloves on?
No.
No. Neither do I.
No, who cares?
You have the garbage disposal, right?
Yeah.
How do people, we come from New York, and as you will say, we were poor or whatever. We weren't poor, but
yeah, we did. I never knew what a garbage disposal was.
I never lived in a place until I moved to LA. Now I can't imagine not having a garbage disposal.
I never had a garbage can with wheels. I never knew what that was.
You mean like the outside garbage can?
Yeah.
I don't think my parents have a garbage can wheels now.
That's what I'm saying. I'm used to my entire life hearing that shh. Out to the curb, things are dropping out of it.
You know what I've never had?
The lid falls off.
You know what I've never had, which I know I believe you have now. I've never had a fridge with a door ice.
Me neither.
You don't have one now?
We have the most expensive fridge on the market that does not have door ice. Never had it in my life.
Yeah, we're like when I'm at someone's house who's got door ice, I'm like,
rich.
You know, yeah, I'm like doing the thing like a top hat. Yeah.
Must be nice.
Yeah, must be nice.
Although I will linger in here.
In this kitchen?
I'll linger here all night.
Yeah.
Throw up on ice water from the fridge.
And then every time I hit the cube thing, it shoots everywhere. And I just like, what do you do with ice on the floor? You kick it under.
I never know how high to put my cup under because I grew up poor. That's the surest sign I grew up poor is that I can't not spill the ice thing that comes out of the machine.
You know what I've started doing? When I travel, I like to have a bottle of water, but obviously you can't take it through security. So you buy one on the other side.
Okay.
Now I've been taking a bottle or whatever it's called, a thermos or corksicle with me, an empty one, and then filling it up. You know, you could fill up like in the airport, like they have little stations. You press it in, but is that disgusting to press where everybody else has been pressing there?
It's not water fountain level disgusting.
Right.
It's like halfway between.
Yeah.
It's not like the water fountain at the airport is probably the grossest thing you could ever put your face near. If there is one, I don't even know if there is one.
Yeah. There's definitely water fountains. There's definitely water fountains.
Oh, did we answer the question?
No, I don't. Yes. No, I don't think we did.
Okay. Let's get into this. So yeah. I like your method of checking with the other couples. I like saying that's a wrap. That seems a little aggressive for most people probably.
Mm-hmm.
I think you just tell them what you're doing. Got an early day.
What about setting it? Hey, dinner party, 7 to 10 PM.
I know. I don't think people listen to that. You said that. I don't think people listen to that.
Well, but at least it's been stated.
You can do that. You definitely can do that. I think you can say, hey, we'll do dessert and then we'll say our goodbyes. Is that too aggressive?
How about if you said you want me to wrap this for you?
Oh, just putting it into
the go thing.
I mean, I think there's not a lot of solutions to it. It is partly that other couple lacks self-awareness generally. It's usually somebody who lacks self-awareness / trying to have an orgy with you. In which case, take them up on it. I think you can do, we can do what you can, which is communicate, right?
I want to come clean here because again, my number one peccadillo, I know it's not the right word, is people without self-awareness. I kind of had a rare misstep the other day. I was in the gym and a guy came in, and this is like, I've introduced myself once. This is a nod, hello nod guy, once every couple of weeks, hello nod, nice guy. And he was like, hey, how are you? This is when we had the storms. I'm like, oh, just kind of trying to stay dry. And he's like, yeah, it's crazy. And then for whatever reason, I go, yeah, my folks were in town. And he was like, oh, okay. He's like, yeah. So I was taking them around. I was telling this guy a story. He doesn't care.
Oh, yeah. But that's not we all do that. What you think, like,
not I. Not,
I know, but you can't hold yourself to that of like, hey, we never have any things where everybody has moments. Give yourself a little grace. So you were excited about your parents being in town.
I was, but like if the reverse happened, I'd be like, why the what? No.
People like sharing that kind of stuff. I don't know. People like saying my parents, I've been doing that to people all over the neighborhood. My mom's coming into town. I know they don't give a crap.
Yeah. But as you know,
you were saying you like went into a full story.
No. This was under 60 seconds, maybe. But
so what's wrong with that?
Well, you know, my
imposing 60 seconds saying your parents are in town. I think you're okay.
No, but I just want to say you have pointed out that I have this astringent, stringent life where I want to live how I want to be treated.
Right.
And I think I have a zero tolerance policy for treating
you
others.
You should have more than zero. You should, I disagree with that. I think that's too harsh. I think you should let people tell you when their parents are in town. It's nice. Nice thing.
Yeah. Nice thing. Yeah.
60 seconds. You give them 59 seconds. Listen, you should put your stopwatch on. You go, tell me about your parents, and then show them the watch ticking down. Tick, tick, tick. Tick, tick, like Chris Berman. Tick, 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 tick.
Oh, I just left and I thought of you and I go, why did I just say this to a basically a stranger? Like,
let me tell you something. When you have a kid, which you will, you're going to start oversharing with strangers. I just asked Nate, Jeff's friend, Nate, who lives in the neighborhood, if this was a walk. I showed him a video. Like, does this count as walking? Like, does he care? I don't know.
Well, but he's a dad.
Yeah.
I think they're more used to it. Like,
right.
Sharing dad stuff, and they go, "Oh, three's a good age." I'm always just like, "Shut the fuck up!"
Yeah.
I hear when people, "Oh, fun age. You made it through the tough part." Like, I don't like your pablum.
I love all of it.
Yeah, I know. That's why we continue to thrive as friends and co-hosts because we're so different, yet also slowly molding into the same person.
Yes. Oh, I had one more answer for this.
Yeah.
The obvious one too is you can make fun of them. A little levity.
Okay.
It kind of takes the awkwardness off the table a little.
Okay. Give me a pitch.
So you're prepping the dinner party and you send the text and be like, so it's 7 to 10. And for Bob and Janie, that means 10, not 11:15. Mm.
Okay. So I love that.
Is that going to be too
hurtful? People get offended.
Depends on how close you are with them. If there's a level of closeness, I think it's okay.
But
and
bro,
if you know they're not super sensitive, then I think it could cut through it.
Okay, but if it's a super close person who's lingering, then you just tell them, "All right, get out."
Right. Right.
It's more the mid-range.
So you don't think the joke will work on the mid-rangers?
The problem with people who aren't self-aware is that they aren't self-aware.
Right. Will they even laugh at it? I think they'll laugh at the joke and then stay late again.
Yeah, no, they'll be like, "Ha ha, they'll think you're talking about somebody else."
Right. Right. I mean, look, the only thing you can do is wrap it up physically.
Okay. What if you do things? Cause you're saying you start to clean up, but what if you really like vacuum under their feet, take the tablecloth off? Seriously.
Listen, I think what you have to do is just clarify a little harder, that it's a little harder of an out.
Yeah.
It's not like a soft out. It's a little bit of a harder out. It's weird when it's at your house, you know?
Right. Okay. But that's what I pitched and you said no.
What? No, no, I meant the way you like evacuate has to be a little clearer.
You mean when you don't give them hints, you say, okay, we're done.
Yeah, you pull out your gun.
What if you and Jess both leave?
We both just walk back into the house and close up shop.
Yeah. And then go to sleep.
Yes. I like it.
Okay.
I just think you have to be a little. Yeah. I think you clap. I think it's the clap. All right, everybody, hand out the coats. It was great to see everybody. And if they start to linger, you have to cut the linger off immediately as it's happening.
Okay.
So like, if everybody's up and they sit back down, that's your moment where you just have to be clear right there before it gets into awkward mode.
So rip the chairs away from
them. Rip the Band-Aid off. Rip the chairs away, right? So I think it's like everybody starts leaving. It's usually traditionally when everybody starts leaving, they sit down or they go get a drink, right? So it's in that moment where they're like, I'm going to go get another drink. That's when you just have to man up and just be like, actually, we're going to call it. That's what you have to say. By the way, you just have, it's that, you have that one fleeting moment where it doesn't become awkward. It's literally not awkward in that moment. It hasn't become awkward yet. They haven't made a choice. You haven't made them feel awkward about it yet, because then it becomes awkward because you're going to make them feel awkward. If they're about to go for that next drink, you just go, actually, we're going to call it, you know, let's do something again soon.
So I think I have a slightly more diplomatic version. you just say, so we should do this again.
Right. I don't think that's clear enough.
Okay.
For the lingerers, they may think that's their leaving. And
right. You know, right. It's just, it's a way to start the conversation.
Yep. 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 Okay. Also stop talking.
Just go silent.
Silent.
Yeah. Stop being so interesting.
Stop being so interesting. Just shut it down.
Or how about you say you're okay to drive?
Shut the music off, you know?
Right.
And then just, you know, talk about the ride home. So how long is the ride home? What's the Uber saying?
Yeah. Or you okay to drive?
Are you okay to drive? Well, no, that's an invite for a linger like I've never seen, Kira.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Drive is the invite of all lingering invites.
Right. Because if they say no, yeah.
The king linger.
King linger, right? If you say no, then I think and they go anyway. I think you're liable, right?
You're inviting a slumber party and you're liable for their alcohol, drinking and driving. But we don't advocate drinking and driving, obviously.
No, absolutely.
Only Ubers only.
Yeah. I think we answered this question. This is the most comprehensive answer we've ever had.
Yep. I wanted it before we wrap up.
Wait, can I end the segment? Yeah. Okay. That was asking for a friend. If you have a friendship question, send it to us on Instagram, Man of the Year Podcast. Matthew.
I had a funny age chart that I created.
Okay.
How long a hangout should be by age. Here it goes. When you're a teenager, 5 hours, and then you subtract an hour for every decade.
Okay.
20s, 4 hours. 30s, 3 hours. 40s, 2 hours. And then you get in your 50s and it's only an hour. And then it goes back up as you get older because there's nothing to do. So then 60s, 2 hours. 70s, it's 3 hours. If you make it to the 80s, it's 4 hours. 90s, it's back up to 5 hours.
This is genius. I think the back end should go steeper because once you're retired, you have nothing to do.
No, I agree, but nobody's awake for more than 5 hours in their 90s.
My mom pays Canasta for 5 hours, 7 hours.
So we double it. So you're saying it should go, so it should be 60s, 2 hours, 70s, 4 hours, 80s, 8 hours, 90s, 16-hour hangs.
Yeah, yeah. I like exponential growth on the back end. That's great because when you were in your teens, you go over someone's house at what, 3 o'clock and you
after
stay
school until dinner time, through dinner time.
Yeah.
You get to know them. 20s, you still have plenty of time. 30s, you know, you got places to be. 40s, you really tight time frame. 50s, even more probably.
This reminds me, did you see that thing that was going around like a month or two ago about how much time you spend with your kids over your lifetime?
Yeah, I hate that. That scares me. It makes me like cry.
Yeah, they're like basically from 0 to 18, that's 90% of your time you'll ever spend with them.
Yeah, I don't like hearing that stuff. It makes me really depressed. I see those videos. I'm like, why are you doing this to me?
Right. Hey, but listen, we're bucking the curve. I've spent more time with you than any other person in my entire life.
And my mom's here this week. We're spending a lot of time together, quality time.
That's great. Listen, you coined a term which I use often, which is uninterrupted family time, UFT. Very important.
Put it in the book.
So what did we learn today?
Time, budgeting time for people is important. You don't have an unlimited allocation of time. So I think you should have notions of how long your hangs are going to be beforehand.
And I think I learned that much like everything else we talk about in this podcast, communication is key. If you have not communicated a soft out, a hard out, what your schedule is, what the expectation for the hang is, that is a recipe for lingering and orgies.
Yeah. If you have a bowl of keys on the table, that's a bad communication.
Or a pineapple.
Upside down pineapple outside.
And that is our show. Guys, always remember, be good to yourself. Be good to your friends. Love you, buddy.
Love you.